Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me, as always, are my fellow Strandies in the future, Darren Moser and Philip Gilfus. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
What's that, Sonny?
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't start off the episode on that foot, Darren.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, well, it's the future, and maybe I look better. Are you saying I look better than what we thought I would look like when we did the old age makeup last time?
You know, I was talking about the boys, I think, last time we recorded. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But the main actor in that, or at least, well, one of the main actors in that is, what's his name, Quaid?
Carl Urban.
No, Quaid. The kid. I mean, he's not a kid. Oh, he's like 20-something. Okay. But I didn't connect the dots. He is one of the main characters in Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, really?
He's ensign, blah, 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 yeah. One of them. But
they're all ensigns, like, except for two people.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. So if you enjoyed him on The Boys, he will be in the newest Star Trek series.
Now, remind me again, Philip, do you remember when the Picard show is coming out? Is it this fall?
They have not given a date. No.
Okay. We don't have a date. Okay.
But, because I
remember joking that we thought it may be January, but then they didn't want to give a date in January because of their problems with dates in January.
Well, I'm 80% sure because if, you know, listeners will not know this, but among our discussions, the book, quote unquote, the book is coming out November, like the magazine, the feature, whatever, watch Star Trek Picard. And so, but it's going to come after that. And so
the TV guide cover. That's what it's slated for.
So I'm going to guess that we don't have a date. So this is guess. Yeah. Would be like February, March. Oh, that'd be my guess. Because I haven't heard. Go ahead. What are you looking at?
I was just going to say it says early 2020.
Okay.
That's what we know.
That makes sense. Yep. And well, speaking of books, I just finished Enterprise War today. And it was good. Again, all of the Discovery books have been
so
good.
So it's about where the Enterprise E was during the Dominion War and why we never saw it. Is that what it was about, Darren?
Yes. That's exactly what it was about. No, it's actually about the secret war of the Enterprise B. It was an amazing... Oh. Actually, that would be really awesome. I would totally read that. But no, this was the Enterprise, Pike's Enterprise, during the events of Discovery Season 2. And again, it's very good at I mean, not, I don't think this really spoils, but it goes up to Discovery Season 2. So
is the last page, we sent a signal, and there's a ship coming, and it's 1, 0, 3, and then the book ends.
The last page is actually, we're getting a signal from Starfleet. Actually, we're getting 7 signals. And they're like, 7 signals? What could that mean? Dun, dun, dun.
Did they explain what catastrophic event happened to the Enterprise itself?
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. Like they literally are like, they're not supposed to be gone that long. And there's major stuff going down. Like they're in like another aliens war. There's crazy battle suits. I really like it because there's cool use of the technology. And there's a lot of opposition against our characters, but it never feels like they're convenienced out of it. Like they go through trials in this book,
but not tribulations.
In a good way. Nope, not tribulations. They're just just trials. But it's good. Yeah, I mean, Una number one is great. Pike is always great. You get some extra characters, and of course the aliens that they meet. But yeah, they're basically in this nebula. Like the whole time.
The Mutari Nebula.
Look, every nebula can't be the Mutari Nebula, Daniel. I mean,
well, there's only one, so.
Although I think now it's gone, because didn't it get turned into Genesis Planet?
It's Nebula Forbidden.
That's true.
Oh, so you would say two thumbs up, you recommend it, Darren? Is that
I would. I would. Like I said, I've always enjoyed these
Would you
books.
Give it two beeps?
Too soon.
Too soon.
We don't get that far. Yeah, no. It's very good. I I'd say it different than the others in the fact that, well, I don't know. I mean, this is, if you would have to say, this is the Pike one, you know, because like, oh, you know, like, yeah, the one that was about Tilly, you had the one about Saru, you had the one about Michael and Spock and stuff, but this is really
they're
the one
about
that's
Michael.
Yes, well,
we just don't know it yet. We'll learn about it later, but
but yeah, no, I Darren, Dr. Sci-Fi recommends two right. beeps.
Ooh.
That's fantastic.
Way
so
way
we'll
up.
Have to keep an eye out.
Look at it.
What about you, Philip? Anything exciting happened this week?
No. I mean, because this is, I had a jam-packed week. I mean, nothing probably exciting to our listeners. But, oh, well, one thing, and this is random, non-Star Trek related, but fandom, I suppose, related. My wife and I were sort of on a look, had space for a new show. And so we ended up, because we finished The Boys, right? It's only so many shows or episodes. And so a while back, I'd gotten the Blu-rays for this series, which I know is off the air now, but we've never seen it. So we started watching Orphan Black. And so, yeah, we've finished our first disc of season one. So it's six episodes in. So, yeah, that Tatiana, she can act. But yeah, for those who've never seen, it's a Canadian series, where, I can't remember the actress's last name, but Tatiana plays.
But she plays like
clones.
Five people or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
Gosh. And I mean, you know, that's, I would be interested in some of the technology that they use. Cause again, the show's off the air. I think it was four seasons, five seasons, something like that. But anyway, you know,
in a movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of times where, you know, she's talking to a clone on a computer, you know, pretty easy, right? Pretty easy. Other times when they're in the same room, but like, you know, you would swear, I mean, I know it's all body doubles, but I mean, like, I don't know how they're doing it. You know,
like people who watch, was it The Social Network, and don't realize that one actor played the Winklevoss twins. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until after the fact.
But yeah, so yeah, it's definitely because it's sort of like a, right now at least, like a thrillery show. You know,
guys, there's only one Lindsay Lohan. She doesn't have a twin in The Parent Trap.
That was a great movie. I mean, you know, but yeah.
All right. I watched iBorg.
Did you?
Ooh.
Yeah, I did, which is good. But that was in preparation for a topic today. And before we get to that,
did you write it on your paper with a lowercase I and uppercase B? Because for some reason, I felt compelled to write it that way.
Like iCarly? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'd say no. Not like iCarly at all. More like iPhone, iPad, Apple.
Wait, is that the JJ Borg? It would be the iBorg? So it's like just gleaming white and
iBorg would be the darkest.
How many lens flares did iBorg have?
Just the one in the eye. Because of the.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it's so funny because the effect that they had in that eyepiece, I recognized it from like, I don't know, like a Trapper Keeper or something.
Yeah, just like a little hologram or something.
Yeah, it was just like one of those old like classic 90s holograms. It was great. Anyways, but we will talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to touch on something very important that happened, and it was just announced today that the CBS Viacom merger will go through, or is going through.
We saved it, guys.
Yay! I mean, it's kind of, it's not kind of, it's very significant in terms of Star Trek, because now all of the rights for both the movies and the TV shows are under one roof. We now can have shared continuity. There's no weird, stupid legal issues why we can't do whatever we want. So I think it's overall a good thing for us as Star Trek fans. I imagine it will probably take a bit of time before anything comes to fruition out of it, though.
I mean, because I'm really looking forward to more licensing of products. You know, I don't know the better way to say that. Merchandising is what I'm saying. Because I feel like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sort of in that point, that fandom where like I own everything, so I'm not exactly looking to buy necessarily. But that's because there's not anything new. But I feel like sort of the name of the game in like Star Trek stuff is Eagle Moss, which, you know, great company, does great things. But like I'm, you know, I can only have so many ship models in a house. So it's like, that aside, I mean, I don't know what another than Hallmark ornaments, right? You have to wait once a year. But like, other than that, there's nothing out. No Discovery merchandise. There's zero Discovery. I mean, other than a disco shirt, right? Now, of course, we've got a million Star Trek shows coming next year, and that'll change, hopefully, right? Knock on wood. But, like, you know, we're going to Season 3 Discovery, which, of course, is not my favorite show. But, nevertheless, we're going to Season 3 Discovery, and there's, like, no Discovery merchandise other than a
shirt. I mean, there's Eagle Moss, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying.
Kind of independent of Discovery. It's not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it Discovery merch. It was just merch that happened to add Discovery in.
So I'm hoping, you know, is it going to be, do they have a name yet? Is it CBS Viacom? Or anyway, whatever it's called.
It's very early. It's very early.
Yeah, but so anyway, but that's what I'm looking forward to.
I hope, I hope that they put it under one banner. Star Trek, both, all that licensing, all that properties put under one banner. That way it can't get split apart again as it was
before.
I thought
they did when they added that person who had like a role over like the franchise, like Star Trek Universe or
well, yeah, but that
like
was
that.
before this merger. So that was just in terms of CBS. Star Trek on TV, like CBS All Access.
That's a good
Star
point.
Trek. So I want them to combine all.
Who is
of it
the
now.
Baron of Star Trek?
Right.
Who has that role?
Well, I was just thinking, not to get into the, because I mean, none of us really care about background that much, and we care about other stuff about Star Trek. But like all this action in the past, say, I don't know, 5 years, like it really seems to be that Les Moonves was the problem. I mean,
he has
a lot of other problems. But as far as Star Trek, like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, once he's gone, like, suddenly, like, the dam burst with Star Trek. And it was just like, really,
like, hey, we're going to use this as the cornerstone of our streaming service.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's like that guy was holding it up for 10 or however long he was there at CBS. You know?
Yeah, no, yeah. He's very notoriously known for hating science fiction. Like, CBS hasn't had really any sort of science fiction, didn't have any sort of really major science fiction stuff under his watch. He really didn't like it. So, it's not just a rumor. It's not just hearsay. He was actively blocking it. He was stopping Star Trek from happening. So,
see, I don't get that. If you're head of a network, even if it's not your personal taste, like, guess what? Other people like it. So,
it was interesting because sorry not to cross streams, but I do it the other way. In our time and space Doctor Who discussion, that's almost the same reason why Doctor Who got canceled originally in the 80s, was because the controller of the BBC didn't like Doctor Who. Like, it doesn't care that it was its biggest moneymaker. I mean, you know, it had its problems, right? But just hated it and wanted to get rid of it. And, like, that's the sole reason. And so it's like, you know, once there was new controllers in BBC, you know, better stuff happened. And so just one person can muck things up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a good, very good thing for the franchise, I think, going forward. I will shake everybody that I ever meet that works on it until we get a Lego Star Trek thing going on. But yeah, no, let's hope that this can lead to very exciting and a sort of culmination of the franchise together, celebration of the entire franchise. We do not have to, you know, pick pieces apart from different aspects of it. It's all one thing. Star Trek is one thing. So
now, Daniel, before we move on, I did want to do a tangential topic really quickly, just because we were out merchandising. So you know, The Toys That Made Us is coming out with a new season on Netflix
sometime,
and you know, one of the topics is,
tell me,
turtles.
Oh, when you guys first told me about that show, that was the first thing that came to my mind because of how big of a thing it was. But yeah, I actually have to go back and watch the other one that you talked about, but I will absolutely watch a Turtles episode.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. I think this next season is My Little Pony.
Turtles. There weren't a lot that I thought. I mean,
I can't remember the other two.
They're all interesting, really. It doesn't matter if you like the toy line. They're all interesting because they make it interesting. But it's like, as far as what my thing was, like, Turtles was the only one that kind of jumped out at me, but.
And in fact, it's kind of featuring a bit of the turtles are kind of in a bit of a renaissance right now, a resurgence right now. Target had some exclusive, really well done figurines from the original '90s movie, and
really,
yeah, really, really good stuff, really well done. I mean, they look pretty screen accurate,
look at this.
And also all this stuff with the Turtles and Batman that just was released. So this is all spurring some new Turtles, a new Turtles era almost. So it's good stuff. But surprisingly, Turtles and toys and Star Trek merchandise, they're not our conversation piece today. Today I want to talk about something I'm very excited about and a little trepidatious about. But I wanted to, we know that the Picard series is coming. We already mentioned it in the show. And I wanted to sort of talk about, based on the very limited information that we have from the trailer and the press releases and the cast list and all that sort of stuff, we know a good enough amount of information that we can kind of guess some of the plot elements, what some of the characters that are going to be involved. Obviously, you know, like the whole big seven reveal, and Data's going to be in it in some form or fashion. I wanted to talk about, just based on what we know right now, how can we best prepare ourselves for Star Trek Picard? What's the most important episodes, movies to watch? What are the characters that we really want to familiarize ourselves with? And what are the storylines that we really probably should go back and refresh ourselves before the new series comes out? So
are you thinking as like a new viewer? Like if you weren't into Star Trek, but you kind of knew that Patrick Stewart was in it and you like Patrick Stewart, this is kind of the bare minimum to watch on Netflix before, kind of like that?
Yeah, I mean, that can be an element of it. I don't want to restrict it to that because we're obviously big fans, and there's going to be enough to talk about without trying to minimize it. I don't want to minimize it. I actually want to, you know, it would be easy to say, watch all of The Next Generation because Picard's in it. But no, right. We're not going to do that. We're going to say, well, these seem to be the elements that they're picking up on. So we'll focus on those. And of course, there's a lot of this is going to be a lot of speculation because we don't know specifically. But
so, Daniel, I feel like I should offer a handicap.
Okay.
I feel like we should limit the episodes, so therefore we really gotta, you know, if we just like 25 episodes, you know, I like, you know, like, you know,
we, so we to, could like broach an episode, but we have to all like agree collectively, like it's
top
on
10
the list
or something.
Okay,
15,
all right,
10 or 15, I don't know.
Let's do 10 and see if we 10, can limit it to 10.
A bingeable weekend.
I have 10 listed, but that also includes two parters.
That's fair.
So that doesn't count.
We also have to count, I think, movies. And
I have one movie on here, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it's First Contact. We all know it.
All right. No, it's not First Contact. Well, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. We'll try to limit it to 10, and we'll see how we do, and then if we need to expand, we will.
Is 10 a prime number?
No. Let's just start. This is obviously going to be... Let's just start with Picard, because he's obviously going... He's the central figure. Where... And based on, again, the little information we know, what do you think is the most important Picard stuff to know, and where are we going to get it from? What are the episodes? Is it the Inner Light? Is it a Stargazer episode? Is it the end of Nemesis? Where are we going to get Picard's...
Like, literally, just watch the end of Nemesis, is that what you're
saying? The deleted scenes, actually. That's really what you should watch. But so where do we want to get the Picard essence from? We'll start there and go.
Well, it seems to me, based on Jerry and... I forget Hugh's real name, and the floating Borg cube and all that. So obviously, and you know, Picard, just Picard in general, you know, very strong Borg connection. And so I'm going to, you can disagree, y'all, because that's what you're here for. But I'm almost like, you almost have to limit it, though, to a single Borg. Because if you're doing part one, part two, best of both worlds, you know, first con, you know, and maybe you can, but like, then that's half the list. So Daniel, because I was just thinking iBorg this evening, but since you watched it recently... Is that probably the best one? Because I feel like Best of Both Worlds, you know, is great, obviously. But I mean, like, iBorg kind of sums up, you know, what went on. So you don't need to, I mean, you should watch it again. But you don't need to watch it again, you know. But, like, having watched it recently, do you think, as far as the Borg storyline of Picard's trauma, you know, et cetera, do you think that's a good example? Or would you rather do Best of Both Worlds?
This is why I'm a little... This is why this is exactly why I'm a little nervous about limiting it, because... I feel like you need to watch Best of Both. If we're just talking about the Borg element, you need to watch Best of Both Worlds. You need to watch Family. You need to watch iBorg. You need to watch First Contact. Like you, it's not every Borg episode, although pretty much. Well, actually, at this point, you'd also need to watch Descent.
Part one and two.
Yeah, you'd have to watch Descent too. So really, I guess you could probably skip Q Who, right? Isn't that the original?
Okay, the first one. Yeah, you're right. Very good.
You could probably skip that, although maybe you'd want to watch it too. That's why I'm a little nervous, a little skeptical about the idea of limiting, just because it's like, I actually want this to be more of an all-encompassing discussion about all the elements that if you do want to go back and refresh, if you just watch iBorg, you're not getting everything. You're missing a lot. But you can't not watch that. So that's why I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, like, I had it broken down. So I have four Picard episodes, two Hugh episodes, and three
Seven episodes. That's funny.
So that's how I kind of broke it down.
How many for the dog?
Yeah. He's a new character. Honestly, because it's like, again, it all starts, and you get double duty. Like, obviously, Iborg is a Hugh episode, but you get stuff from Picard in it, you know, so there's crossover. I actually started with, like, if we're talking about the Borg, I would start with certain things, but I included The Measure of a Man in my list. One, it's a great episode. Two, it conveys a lot of who Picard is and how he responds to things. You also get the foundation of the Picard-Data relationship very strongly. So again, I kind of approach this from someone who didn't really know a lot of Trek, you know, and like they know what Star Trek is and they've seen a few episodes, but you know, this isn't necessarily a list to introduce them to Star Trek, but introduce them to make sure they're caught up enough. You know, it's like a really long previously on Star Trek Picard, you know, series of episodes. But I put Measure of a Man down for those reasons. I think I like having some episodes that aren't directly tied to the Borg, but also reflect on Picard's personality and his command style and things like of that nature. Cause I think that gives character and back and context to what I think we're going to see in the new series.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Darren. I would just, in terms just of this conversation and to make it simple, mm-hmm. I would, if we're talking Borg, I would definitely categorize that under like the other category of Data. Cause we have to talk about that too. Data's an element of this. For what, even if he's a figment of Picard's imagination or a hologram, we don't know exactly what he is, but he obviously is important.
I feel like no matter how this podcast ends, you're going to make us watch Nemesis again.
Well, that's the thing. Nemesis is actually the convergence of a lot of these story elements. And it's the last time we saw Picard in canon.
And Data.
Yeah.
And Data, yeah. And so
before.
And Romulus.
Yeah,
it's kind of.
I have Nemesis on my list. I think, regardless of what you think of it, I can't see them ignoring all the events of Nemesis.
No, in fact, well, we'll get to it because when we get to the Romulan stuff, that's important. I want to treat that as a
Star Trek Online.
But yeah,
but
to answer
that.
Your direct question about Borg, I have Iborg, family, and Descent. Those are my three. Honestly,
of Descent, or are you going to call that a little bit?
Maybe both. But like, as you kind of said earlier, Philip, when we were chatting offline, you know, yes, The Best of Both Worlds is great, but I almost feel like in a way family gives you enough of kind of what he's impacted by without having to go through both episodes. Like, and you get a ton of him and his brother. And like, if I had to choose Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and Part 2 or Family, I would choose Family for this context. But
we've always said Darren's a family man.
So just for this conversation, I don't think we should limit it. Don't think that you have to be somewhat selective, but I think in the case of something like Family and Best of Both Worlds, we can just have them both.
Just do the whole trilogy.
What we want to do is be completely familiarized with Picard's story. We don't want to skip things that are important.
So counter far point.
Because I think with family, this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. But you get the where we're going to start in Picard, you know, arguably. L'Barre,
the
France.
The family Picard. Yeah.
Yeah,
where he is.
Yeah.
Why is this Federation captain on a vineyard?
Yeah.
That would tell you why. And you get an awesome Worf B story all thrown in as well. So, you know, it's
then
a
you have to watch the child because he never got to play with puppies and now he has a dog. It'll all make sense.
Okay. So, the Best of Both Worlds family trilogy. We all agree that that's on the list.
Sure.
Yeah. As well as,
Iborg.
Would you say Iborg?
As the.
Yeah. I mean, I would say so because Hugh is going to be a part of the story. And
yeah.
You absolutely have to watch Iborg if you want to know who Hugh is.
And I would even say Descent as well, because it's the continuation of Hugh, and it's starting to give you some data, which the data is also in the show.
I mean, I can give you like one line of dialogue for Descent and you're good. And it's like, yeah, Hugh has now been appointed a leader of the Broken Borg. There you go.
Well, but we also get lore. And I mean, not that we don't know
what do we do
about
with that, though,
lore, yeah. but we establish that there's other Soon androids.
Nemesis. Established.
Well, which we also do get that in Nemesis. That's true. I could go havesies on Descent. I do think Iborg. It's the introduction of Hugh.
Yeah,
you
no, that's fine.
It.
Yeah.
And again, it's not. This isn't call the list. Descent is important. We need to know what happens to those Borg. Are clearly a part of this storyline. So it's,
and that's where we leave Hugh. So yeah. I mean, when we pick up that thread again, it's good to know where it was left off.
What happened to Lore in the end of that episode again?
If I remember correctly,
I think he was disassembled and sent off to Starfleet.
I love you, brother.
I wonder. Not that they would, but. Thinking of Descent, what if they pick up? What if they use him in some?
They probably send him to what's his name? Bruce Maddox? Is that his name?
Oh yeah, Maddox. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's like, oh goody, oh goody, oh goody. Oh, this is the evil one.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care.
And somehow Bruce Maddox disappeared.
They're all robots, really Darren. He doesn't care if they have feelings or personalities. You know.
What do you think, Bruce Maddox and that other lady who made the exocomps like? Room together in ethics school or something.
There you go.
Okay, so let's keep going. Borg, obviously we have to include First Contact as well, right?
Well, and again, I'm being conservative and you're being a little more liberal, and that's fine, so you can include it. I mean, I don't know if it's a great movie. I'm not saying you need it necessarily.
Do we think that there will be any references? I mean, there has to be some sort of queen references, right? Yeah.
If you wanted to do this, then you wouldn't want to do a Seven episode with her and the Queen.
We'll move to that after this. But
if you
want to
be conservative, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's important enough. You get the Enterprise E, which is you assume has some role to play, and then of course the Queen and then I don't know. I would say watch it in preparation.
Well, always watch it. I'm never saying not watch it. But... Now, I mean, I don't know, if we're done Borging.
No, we're not.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to keep going. We're going to do it theme by theme. I think that's the easiest way to do it. So we'll start talking about Seven and what...
Okay.
So would we just start with Scorpion at that point? Or would we go further back or what? I'm going to lean on you guys because I'm
I was about
much
to say,
less.
What's a good Seven episode? I mean, there's several, of course. I'm not trying to be like that. But because
the ones I have... Or Seven, not necessarily in any particular order, is Scorpion, The Raven, and Unimatrix Zero.
It's been a while since I've seen Unimatrix Zero, and that's a two-parter, too. So, because, I mean, the thing with Seven is because she's constantly evolving as a character. Well, not constantly evolving, but she does evolve as a character, because sometimes she, frustratingly doesn't evolve sometimes.
Well, there's also, like, One... Which is
that's a good one because then she's sort of looking at herself, and that's actually a good one.
Her role as a mother, kind of thing.
I like that one.
I mean,
the Raven
I mean, Scorpion,
is the one with her as a kid, right?
Right.
Yes, that's like flashback of her parents and her history.
Yeah, I feel like that would be pretty important.
This is just fandom speculation. She's still being called Seven by this time? You think of Picard, or is she going ever?
Oh, as far Annika? As or Annika, that's a good question. I. Honestly, I would assume that they would call her Seven mainly because people know her as Seven, not as Annika, the general populace. You know what I mean? Like fans watching the show.
I would say, I would think that they call her Annika now because based on her mannerisms and all of that, she seems to be more integrated into regular society. I would think that at some point she would have... accepted that name. But who knows? They could go either way with that, for sure. I mean, so would you include... Is, like, Endgame necessary watching at this point?
No.
It kind of is because of the state of the Borg. This is important for where... Because clearly the Borg are in...
The last showing of the Borg.
Yeah, and the Borg are in disarray. At least it seems to be that the Borg are in terrible disarray in Picard. We kind of need to know that information. It's super important. So Endgame, I think, would be right up there.
And we get the 7 Chakotay stuff, which you know is going to be in there. So, yeah.
And Scorpion's the introduction of 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with you, Philip, that it's kind of difficult for 7 because it's such a gradual change. There's episodes here or there that you could pick out that would be particularly relevant.
I think it's some ways ironic, or I don't know, whatever the word would be, because wasn't theoretically that they were trying to get a 7 cameo in Nemesis?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think they
and
were.
So ultimately they finally got their 7.
Yeah.
Well, another episode I had for Picard, actually looking back at my list, was one of my favorite episodes was Gambit, because it's Picard. Yeah, this is the one where he's pretending to be the archaeologist on the other ship and Galen. So, you know, obviously, I don't think Picard's going to be undercover in this new series. Well, who knows? But it's very similar. Like, he's on another ship with a non-Federation crew, you know, with a mission. Like, it's very similar in that regard. So I think it kind of lends to Picard not in Starfleet. Or not doing Starfleet-y things. Like, that's kind of what that episode's about.
My, my alternative, if you don't want to go the Gambit, is All Good Things. So, this alternative future, it remind me again, because I know I probably ask every time. Star Trek Picard and All Good Things, how much is the time off?
Oh, yeah, I feel like we already answered this.
It's like
this.
8 years or something, 7 or 8 years, I think.
Which way? Do we know?
I think part Picard is after... All the future things. Of All Good Things. How are you going to make
Because I think, you know, look, I think they're going to ignore it completely, honestly. But, you know, I mean, they posit in All Good Things that he's on the vineyard and has aromatic syndrome. Yeah. And, you know, and so.
There's no way they ignore it completely. They pull right from it. But there are things that there are elements I think that they'll drop for sure.
Is Geordi a novelist?
All Good Things future is 2395, and we know Picard is 2399.
Later. Yeah.
Because it's going to go right into the new millennium.
Yeah.
So,
we're going to have a Millennium Gate episode, guys. It's going to be great.
Oh, no.
Which I think, and I don't mean to go down a rabbit hole. I'm not. But All Good Things, you know, because Troy died. You know, Riker was angry admiral. All that stuff. So presumably Troy's still alive because she's going to be in Star Trek Picard, unless she's just a hollow ghost that Riker keeps. And that'd
be
sad.
I would say by the end of the movies, you already kind of feel we're on a different path than what we saw in future All Good Things.
Yeah. I mean, why? What else would he tell us about it? How we all drifted apart?
They were on the Enterprise D in All Good
what
Things.
What are Geordi's eyes going to look like, guys? That's what I got to know.
We'll never
know. Are there like two little visors, one over each eye?
Save it for season 2. Save it for season 2.
Hey, they were pretty consistent between
Things
and what we see in Nemesis. They were very consistent with Geordi's eyes.
And I mean, I'm a little sad that the shots of Data we've seen, he doesn't have a shock of white hair. But,
well,
you know.
I think we know why.
Because he was dead for most of the time. But
got very green eyes.
Yeah, which I think is, people have remarked, I just assume that's just better contact technology. You know, we just want to make it pop more. That's my only thought. Like, if you could have done that in the beginning, that's what you would have done. But yeah, as far as, and I don't know if we're moving here, but I'm just trying to think of Picard as an actual character, like his person, which is, I know, for Measure of a Man, you were talking about that. And you know, family touches on family, obviously. One thing I was thinking about, and I'm not doing this just because of the Beverly stuff, though you can argue that, but because the Beverly stuff goes to who he is about distance,
about, like attached.
Yes, that's attached is exactly what I was going to say. You know, talks because it talks about him and Jack and him and Beverly and how he approached that relationship, which is really how he approaches life, about sort of being detached. Like, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it should go on the list, but it's because it's so, but it's almost like Cupid, because that gets into how he separates his professional with, you know, and his romantic and but how he'll still, you know, make gestures when it's important. But yeah, those are good character episodes, at least.
It's so funny because I think we all think of different things. Like when we think of Picard as a character, like when you mentioned Darren in this context, oh God, what was the name of the episode you just mentioned?
Gambit.
The Gambit. And I do not like.
It's Gambit. I always added a the, but it's just Gambit.
Yeah. I don't like that episode generally, but how you explained it, I was like, oh yeah, I can get on board. Everybody's wearing leather jackets instead of Starfleet uniforms, and he's like not a part of Starfleet. I'm like, I could totally
see. Yeah, I mean, not that. For the part where it's like the mystery of is he bad or what's going on, but obviously, but just seeing
punching
him
Riker.
in that element when he's not a Starfleet captain, where he's part of a crew, and yeah. You know, I got a lot of Gambit vibes watching the trailer.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And then when Philip is talking about what is the name of the episode you just mentioned?
Attached.
I'm like, yeah, totally. That makes sense. We literally get a glimpse into his head, which is not something he allows very frequently. My mind went right to kind of a dual thing here, but not that I think this is necessary to watch, but like Captain's Holiday or Rascals, where like just like the fun, silly stuff. And it's like.
True.
Man.
Or we didn't say anything about unification.
Oh, well, okay, we will touch on the Romulan stuff, and there's a lot to dissect there, so that's going to be our next thing.
Because, I mean, you could even, and I'm saying you could even go Tapestry about who he was, who he became,
yeah,
how he views life, you know.
See, the thing is, and I have a theory, we're going to see Q in season 2, then we'll go back and visit all the Q episodes that we
then we're
going to
be 3,000 miles away in season 3.
But yeah, no. Obviously, Tapestry. The thing is, there are so many good Picard episodes, and that's why earlier I mentioned The Inner Light.
You know, I think I know. You said Measure of a Man.
No, no,
no. I mentioned.
I mentioned Inner Light in passing.
Oh, and I tuned out then, probably.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
But hey, guys, they have a little thing, a little
probe.
flute.
They're sending around that little like diorama of all the props and stuff.
It's like the museum. Pop-up exhibit.
Yeah, the little mini museum, and presumably, maybe, possibly that all of these elements are carried through in Picard. We obviously know we've seen the Picard Day banner in the trailer.
Yes. Oh, so.
But you would think, of course, that we would the flute will in some way be there. The bead thing on his chair will be there at some point. Livingston is probably still alive. We don't know.
God, I hope not. That's
I think
a
it's a holographic fish.
Maybe the dog eats it. We don't know. But
well, again, as for timeline wise, Nemesis is 2379, and so Picard is 2399. So 20 years exactly after Nemesis.
Yeah. So there, I don't know that we're ever going to come to a consensus. Not that we'd really disagree, but there's so much Picard himself stuff. It seems like there's like not a lot you could miss out on. Like there's not a lot that you could, wrong.
There's things like Chain of Command where we see him kind of like tortured and stuff like that. But I don't necessarily feel like that. Like then we start to tip into, it's just adding more context, which is great, but we don't need all of it.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think, you know, if we don't literally have to do this, but, you know, figuratively in your head.
I mean, you could say generations for his breaking down with Renee's death. Like, do we need that?
Yeah. And Christmas. Because I'm trying to think, you know, one of the things about Picard, the show, I feel like people could see this when we talk about.
Also, that title, guys, I was shocked.
I feel like we should have to speak in italics. Picard, not the character, the show. But Picard, I'm italicizing. Because the thought's going to be like, well, how is he going to approach whatever new situation this is? Now, of course, you know, as Daniel may get to here, maybe it has a lot to do with the Romulan stuff. I don't know.
I can't talk about the Romulans yet.
No, I know.
Philip, they've been barred till later.
What are the episodes that sort of establish the prism of his, I was going to say worldview, galaxy view, you know, and it's weird because I don't think there's necessarily episodes that sort of like, you know, this is why I am who I am, other than like some of the family stuff we've already mentioned, you know, why he's.
I mean, that's kind of why I have Measure of a Man, because I feel like his sense of justice or Drumhead.
Well, Justice, I think does the best thing of Justice.
Oh, geez. No, not Justice. But the Drumhead is also.
That's
like,
true. And you know, actually,
Picard, the diplomat, you know, Picard, the court person.
Drumhead does a couple things. It does what you say, but it also goes through his record jacket when the Admiral is listing all the times he broke the Prime Directive. And then that sort of great scene. Tell me, Captain, have you fully recovered from your incident with the Borg?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it goes through his, you know, a lot of the mentions other episodes, but then it does show his relationship with the Admiralty, even though she's a former Admiral, I get it. But also, you know, he studied her father and his teachings, as a judge or whatever he was. So yeah, I think Drumhead might be good.
Oh, although what about Troy and Riker? We haven't talked about them at all, and we know that
Nemesis,
they're, at least
they're married.
Guest appearing.
He's a captain. You know,
those. It sounds like they're only going to be in one episode. It's probably going to be more of a cameo than a character beat or anything like that. So we can speculate on that later. But we have been building up to this, and the major narrative thrust of the show, or at least of the late 24th century, is about the Romulans, and this could be literally a unification between what we've seen on TV and what we've seen in the movies at this point.
And the computer, Star Trek Online.
Well, yeah, I that sort of stuff, I think, is going to be a lot like the old classic Star Wars novel
Legends.
Universe, legend stuff, where it's just kind of like, we'll use what we like, but it's just kind of there.
I mean, that's a good question. Is the events leading up to 2009... With the destruction of Romulus.
So
you
gotta watch
like
2009.
That's the million-dollar, that's the thousand-bar of Latinum question. It, you know.
And I think it is. I mean, I think for a lot of reasons it absolutely is. I think Alex Kurtzman being behind the scenes of both the movies and the show.
he wants, because I know it's in the comics, but you know, he can still want to on-screen canonize JJ-verse. Of being like, no, guys, it's all one universe.
Well, I mean, technically,
I mean, I know in the movies, but yeah.
Technically it is. It's been canonized. I mean, it's that was Spock yeah. that they pulled. So, but whatever. Okay. But either
Did
way.
Did you see the picture of them in the Monster Maroon? Yeah. They were all there.
So either way, I mean, you know, obviously, yeah, you mentioned earlier, Darren, unification, which is going to obviously be massively important. For some reason, it seems like there seems to be a Romulan refugee issue here with the Borg cube, and it seems to be suggesting that we are looking at post destruction of Romulus.
You really got to put 2009 on the list.
My guess is it's gonna be
you have to put 2009 in there. Then that's
do.
Why.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guess it's post reunification, but then also post destruction of Romulus. I'm not sure in the order that happened, but I think it's
well, presumably they didn't I would think it could be post,
or maybe they reunified because like
you would
Praxis
think.
Like they're screwed over and they right. you know they have no choice
because you sort of had maybe the soft unification where there was good discussions over a period of decades nothing really because you know it's like any society no one really makes
but
a choice until
Rebus
they have to.
Rebus is their key energy facility without that
But with you know, once you have Romulan refugees looking for a place to go, maybe Vulcans are their natural, you know, welcomers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, imagine them bringing in their cousins, like, you know.
Welcome home.
And in the trailer, Picard specifically says, I left Starfleet due to an event, something that had happened that I disagreed with.
Someone
and he looks at the camera, winks, and says, you'll find out.
and I'm pretty sure in the trailer he's got some big Vulcan award, which a lot of people have attributed to
the 20-year award.
Yeah, to his effort in unification.
Yeah,
not the episode, but the act.
No, I think it was for the episode.
it was a Vulcan Emmy. Oh,
it was quite good. It was quite good. So
Emmy.
So there's obviously less. There's a smaller amount of significant Romulan episodes that you would need to watch, but those events. Seem to be playing into this sort of. There seems to be a melding of Romulan and Borg storyline happening here, which I think is kind of a really cool twist on things. And I don't know how that's going to play. Like, is the remnants of the Borg? It's like Q and stuff. Are they in some way helping?
Or is it just remnants of the Borg? Like, were they all not wiped out in the like killed the boss? Everybody falls over dead way, or is it going to be like?
Right.
Like I've even heard. Rumors that like that cube we see that has kind of force fields over parts of it is either, you know, a Borg cube regenerating, or that it's like some sort of prison that it's like a repurposed cube.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, anyway, speculation. I was gonna say it could have been the Hugh Borg's old cube, but that'd be an old cube at
good
this point.
Good old number 358560244.
It'd be like 25 years or 30 years old at that point, but anyway.
So yeah, so
it doesn't regenerate like it used to, but
yeah, this thing. Oh.
So for Romulan storylines, what are we looking at? We're looking at unification. We're looking at Nemesis, which we already included, and we're looking at O9, right?
Yeah,
those are the really, really big ones.
I mean, as far as we know, I think that's all you need to know about the potential trauma.
Yeah. Then you have to worry about, well, who are they going to get back from that? Is it going to be, obviously Tomalak can't come back.
Right.
Obviously Sayla shouldn't come back.
Well, I mean, she's available. Damn.
I'm just saying.
She's available.
Should not come back. But yeah, so I don't know. What else, Philip? What are the other elements? We should talk about Data, I guess.
I mean, but I think Nemesis gives you that. I mean, everything we've named gives you that. In other words, I don't think we need an extra episode of, like, Picard and Data have a close relationship. I mean, Nemesis will give that to you, you know, because Data saves Picard's life and sacrifices his own, arguably. And that could be the Picard's... I mean, I think, A, it's his friend, A. But B, I'm sure Picard has some survivor's guilt because, yeah, you know, it was him, not him, you know. So,
if you had to pick a Data-Picard episode, what would it be, though?
Oh. Data, why are you staring at me?
Well,
gets Romulus reunification. Boom.
Yeah, we already included unification, so that would work.
It's the great buddy movie of
Card Day. I would say First Contact.
But you already did Measure of a Man. I mean, so you know. That's...
Yeah, but I mean, First Contact also has a lot of Picard.
I mean, they're
stuff.
Just dating the same girl. I don't know if that's really.
You're thinking so fourth dimensionally, Philip. It's not cheating when it's Borg fourth dimensions.
I tried that with the wife. Doesn't
look,
work.
They were on a break.
Oh boy. All right. So what else? Do you think? I mean, it's kind of wild to me. It kind of blows my mind a little bit. As I was watching iBorg, I thought, wow, this one guy got, you know, whatever his name is, I can't remember, John something something.
Jonathan.
He got this gig, you know, for this role 25 years ago or whatever, and like, it's so amazing that they're picking up that one
of all the of all the characters to pluck back out,
yeah,
like, and then we're all like, oh, that's gonna be interesting.
But I'm interested in that, and that's such a cool thing. Like, is there any other element that
I need some DS9 characters, guys?
Well,
yes,
come on.
I was gonna say it'll be interesting what he looks like, because certainly they haven't shown him in the trailer yet. We only have one though, so who knows. But I'm like,
can
I want to
visit Deep Space Nine. No, actually, no, we can't. We would have to rebuild all of Deep Space Nine. So never
mind. Not canonically. As far as we know, it's still fine. But whatever.
But I wonder if he's deborgified.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Well, even Seven still has her little eyepiece, right?
Yeah, but that's because that's how we know her. You know, in other words.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I bet you he'll have like.
Other than it's just Jerry Ryan, you know.
Yeah. maybe he'll have like a metal eye or something.
Yeah, because I think I think like, Jonathan, we want to bring you back. Okay, do I have to be in the Borg thing the whole time? Because it's, I mean, I want to say yes, but.
They mentioned, I saw an interview where they asked, my God, I'm
Patrick
having Patrick. They asked Patrick, hey.
Sir Patrick, I'm sorry, where are you from, Daniel?
They asked him, you know, how, you know, you for a long time, you were reluctant to return to the role, and did you have any stipulations? And he mentioned, yeah, I didn't want to get back in uniform. I just didn't want to do it. And then he goes, but then I broke my rule because there was a flashback and it only makes sense for it to be in uniform. And as I was watching iBorg, I'm like, well, it makes total sense if they do a sort of flashback to this episode. And they just totally de-ageify Picard and they de-ageify...
See, I was assuming it'd be like an Enterprise-E flashback of, you know, bridging the gap.
Maybe that's fine too.
You know, his Romulan mission gone obviously wrong.
Yeah, so
and then they bring
I guess...
back. They bring in what's his face to play Spock. Actually, I don't know. I actually met the JJ, but maybe it's Ethan. I don't know. But they bring back, you know, to play Spock for the Romulan mission, you know, old Spock. And there we go.
Anyways, as I was watching it, it was just like, wow, it's amazing that they brought this one tiny character from this one, you know, not insignificant, but relatively kind of a smaller character.
In the convention universe, he has a table where all the other tables are. You know, that's
well, his table has now bumped up significantly. He has absolutely gotten
Klingons.
Yeah, he's gotten the Picard bump. I'm sure he's gonna be
secondary stage for me.
Yeah. So anyways, I guess my only other question, and this is kind of open-ended and maybe hard to answer, but is there any other small elements like that? Is there any piece of the Borg history or the Romulan stuff or Data and Picard? Is there any, you know, the flute or whatever? Like, do we want to see Dixon Hill again? Is there any element that you're clamoring for that you hope that they bring back, even if it's just a small thing?
Well, this doesn't answer your question, but I was just thinking, as you're talking about this, and it's a lot of speculation, and it may do you no good at all, but if you're going to watch Endgame, you probably should watch what you leave behind. I mean, just because as the close to Deep Space Nine, the Dominion War, just because of the state of play for the Federation, I mean, I get it, the last 5 seconds of Endgame, but that was kind of the last thing we saw in the Star Trek universe other than the movies. Well, you know, in our Alpha Quadrant was what I'm trying to say.
That's true. I mean, Nemesis does pick up a little bit, like, as far as, like, I mean, the Romulans are our allies, basically, by the end of, oh, no, wait, they weren't. Never mind. But,
well,
you know, they, but yeah.
They
were our reluctant allies. Remember, they were brought into the war.
That's right.
Not in the most honest way, but they were brought into the war, so.
Shinzon
upheaval.
Yeah.
Darren, what about you? Is there any, like, small, like, little thing that you'd want to see carried forward? I mean, I know there's a lot of clamor.
And you have to watch Generations to see the introduction of the comm badge that was shown in the trailer. You'll get confused if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, it's almost overwhelming because there's hundreds of episodes and moments and things to draw upon. I mean, heck, you could have them in a tight spot and he whips out some sort of isolinear chip and replicates an exocomp that he had on file to use in this. I mean, you could do that and it would work. Like, this all has been talking about, you know, the characters we know, and obviously there's a ton of new characters that we're going to be getting that we get to learn about, but that's what I'm in there for. I just want all those little references. Not that you have to know what it's about, but when you do, you know, like you're like us, like where you've seen all of Next Gen or you've seen a lot of Star Trek, then it just enhances and just makes it even more fun. And I hope we just get lots of that. The more the better.
I was thinking, because I didn't pay attention to the little people in Picard, but like the new folks, I mean, were there any, like,
look, like we had the, you know, Radish specialist, you know, or Stamets in Discovery that became like super pivotal, like the mycelial stuff. So maybe there's one of those in Picard.
Yeah, because we didn't get any new aliens for the main cast that I noticed. It was all looked all human, to tell you the truth, which that can't be good.
Well, that lady, the girl, the key to it all.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, the crew. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, it's all, like,
it's basically
seconds.
Firefly, guys. It's just Firefly coming back. You got a crew, you got a ship, you got... They're going to fly off and fight the Mandalorian.
If Picard sees someone twirling an umbrella, I'm going to... I think I would, you know, new aliens, because I know it's like, oh, bring back what we know, but hey, I'd like this, a new alien species, you know, that's, or maybe bring back a Denobulan for all you can, you know, do something.
They see some Klingons and they look like Discovery Klingons.
Don't start.
Or better yet, bring back
if you see Klingons, what should they look like?
They should look like Klingons, Darren.
But that's not an answer,
isn't it?
Oh, man. So, yeah, you know, I think, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little nervous.
Well,
I'm
I think that the whether on purpose or not, and I think, you know, the sort of the time period was just like, look, Picard, you know, Patrick Stewart's that old. Why are we going to pretend like he is going to be like, you know, right after Nemesis? Which you could pretend, but why? You know, just say it's 20 years just because it's been 20 years since. But that amount of time gets you, it almost is sort of like a JJ thing of you can tell all new stories and because it's all new technology. It's all, you
know. It could be the second Klingon War, the second Cardassian occupation. Like you could do whatever.
Yeah. Cause I mean, with that 20 years since the last thing we saw, which is Nemesis, really.
Harry Kim could be a lieutenant, guys.
But I mean, really, you're almost going, instead of the movies, going from like Endgame. I mean, because, you know, movies, how much did we get? And so much going
to
change.
We only legally just got the option to even talk about them in the universe, so.
So, but I mean, it opens up all sort of storytelling where, as you said, of course, they're all mired in the Star Trek universe, and we love that, and we're looking forward to that. But, I mean, they can do whatever they want as far as other stuff, because they're not bound by that much, because it's been, you know, 20 years in that universe, which, as we have watching an episode at a time, so much can change.
Yeah, and if the extent of what we know is sort of a backdrop. If it's just...
They put mufflers in the warp engines so they don't have to swing anymore, you know.
If it's...
Well, and how many episodes are we going to get? What kind of a story are we going to be told? Is it a 10, 12, 15 episode mini arc? Like, what are we going to get? Is it going to be how streaming is kind of now? Or are they going to do something different for Picard?
I forget how they've been describing it, Contra Discovery. Because they have been. I just can't remember the words they use.
It's
but not the same kind of format.
It's a 10-episode story.
I'm trying to remember how they just... mine's blanking. They're saying, like, oh, it's less...
I remember back when we got Discovery. 22 episodes in a season, guys. It was great.
And they were all great. Not a single dud among them.
Every single one of them. Anyways, it'll be an interesting exercise. And obviously, we will be there every step of the way. Every single week, we'll be watching... I am excited, but I'm just nervous too. I'm a nervous wreck about it. But I'm optimistic. I hope it should be good.
It'll be an interesting for me. I don't know about y'all, but a palette, Star Trek palette next year, because it'll be like high expectations for Picard. So it's either gonna be like home run, dang it, dies. Oh my, it's everything we wanted, or like oh boy, oh god, oh boy. With Discovery, it'll be like okay, you know, ugh, whatever. And so if it's great. And then, you know, we can shut up and we're wrong. But then I take my palate cleanser, this is Lower Decks, zero expectations going into that thing. I'm like, it's cartoon. Let's just do what you want to do. And so that'll be fun too.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do a Lower Decks primer too, even though yeah, we'll get into it.
Because I'll be interested just to say,
I think we'll need to know a little more about it.
Yeah.
Well, just the appearance aside, because we've seen the uniforms, and so, which is different, but, you know, and so
yeah, but it's animated. They always take
that under the time
license.
Period, because I mean, they're arguing, you know, this is the Star Trek universe. We're not just like creating some sort of separate, you know. So anyway,
well, yeah, we'll really have to see, because they're gonna, they'll have to play it very, they'll have to do it very well, where you can kind of, sort of like lift your expectations and just enjoy the story, but also not take it too seriously. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. It's the first time Star Trek's ever done anything like that, like super
animated.
Changing. No, well, canonically,
animated series is canon.
But anyway, so we'll stop there. So Star Trek Picard, check for it next year, and we'll be here talking about it every step of the way. Darren, if you want to get a hold of you and talk to you about what is a worse two-parter, is it Gambit or is it Time Zero? How would they find you?
That's Time Zero, obviously, but they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And Philip, if people wanted to talk to you about how Picard is just going to be another Inner Light experience for Captain Picard. So
the wakes up at the end of the season.
Yeah, he wakes up at the end, and that's where his flashback scene was, by the way, him on the bridge of the Enterprise, and he wakes up, and oh my god, you lived well. Anyways, where would they find you?
Oh, boy. They will find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And if people wanted to find me and we'll talk about all things Romulans, they can find me on Twitter at WhatUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. I'm Daniel Brew.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
And I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.